59% of green claims are misleading. That's a statistic in the UK.
That's a lot.
And I know, and 68% of companies in the USA have confirmed that they have greenwashed. So when a company is saying we're a green company, don't just take it at face value. You need to have a look on their website and see how they're backing them up.
Reloved Radio, a podcast sharing inspirational stories about pre-loved fashion.
Hey Re Lovers, welcome to Reloved Radio. Today I have Abby James on the show to talk about greenwashing, what it is, why it's so bad, and what can we do about it. Abby isn't your typical fashion designer. She's combined her love for fabrics and design with a commitment to environmental sustainability, and as such, has carved out a niche for herself in the world of luxury, sustainable fashion. Abby challenges the fashion industry's norms, and I'm totally on board with her vision of a future where clothing is treasured, craftsmanship is revered, and ethical practices prevail over cheap labour. Welcome to the show, Abby.
Thank you very much for having me, and what an important topic we're going to talk about today.
It is. And I want to start with what greenwashing actually is, because I'll tell you a really quick story. We were having a conversation in our lunchroom the other day, and I had mentioned greenwashing, and nobody at the table knew what it was, and most of them actually thought that it had something to do with laundry. So, can you give us a bit of a rundown of what greenwashing actually means in the fashion world?
Yes, I can. And it's absolutely rampant in the fashion industry, but not only the fashion industry. Every single industry that we are dealing with at the moment is greenwashing, because we are, as a consumer, so focused on environmental issues and sustainability that the companies are grabbing onto this, and they realize that green things, eco things, sell. And so they are trying to make their products as green as, or seem as green as possible to us, so we buy them. The problem is, greenwashing is when it isn't a sustainable product, but they're greenwashing us to make us think that it's sustainable. People say, oh, certified green, but they've certified it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be really careful of all those words. But any word, sustainable, green, eco, it's all just these buzzwords. And it's actually really hard for consumers, because there are people out there that are doing the right thing. And what words do they use? Because they don't want to sound like they're greenwashing, but it's really confusing for consumers.
So how can we spot when a brand is trying to greenwash us? Are we just looking for those words, or what are we looking for?
You're not just looking for those words. You're looking for backup of those words. And it does mean, as a consumer, you need to research a little bit. So when a company is saying we're a green company, don't just take it as at face value. You need to have a look on their website and see how they're backing them up. Because if a brand is sustainable, is eco-friendly, they are going to back up their claims, because financially it's a really smart thing to do, because it makes sense. But if it's not backed up, then it's greenwashing. Another thing to do, and I was given this tip from another podcast called Clothes Horse Podcast. I interviewed her on my website. And if you type in the company into Google, the company's name, and then the word greenwashing, have a look at what comes up. And if they have had a lot of greenwashing claims in the past, that'll come up, and, you know, it'll just give you some red flags.
That's a great tip. I'm definitely going to try that one. I hadn't even thought of doing that, to be honest.
It works.
Can you give us some examples of the tactics that brands use, you know, more of the sneaky tactics they're using to make themselves seem more eco-friendly than they actually are?
Yeah, like H&M at one point, they had their Conscious collection. I'm pretty sure they don't have that collection anymore. I'm not really into H&M, so I'm not really following them. But they promote their collection as being sustainable because, say, they're using a natural fiber like linen, or, you know, recycled poly. Whether that's sustainable or not is another story. But they're looking at one particular thing that is a sustainable claim. But then if you look at everything else they're doing, it is completely unsustainable. Say they've got a lot of micro seasons, a lot, you know, maybe they have one season a week, which is really normal for fast fashion. They have a huge amount of pieces coming out each year. It is so cheap. So ethically, the manufacturers and the makers are not getting a living wage, even though it is the minimum wage. It needs to be looked at holistically rather than just looking at one piece. And so one piece of the puzzle does not make a whole puzzle, but greenwashing makes you just focus on one single piece and they hang on to that. And you as a consumer need to go, hang on, that is saying it's linen, but they're doing all these other things that are really unsustainable. So are they actually sustainable? It's like I said before, it's all about just delving just under the surface and you'll see what they're on about.
Yeah, so it's very similar to reading the labels on your food packages and that sort of thing.
You got it. That's right.
Some great tips there. There's been quite a bit of negative press in recent times, yes, particularly around that conscious collection that they called it, conscious collection.
Yeah.
And there are a few others out there as well. Was one that I saw the other day that was a very, very high-end brand, and there was some type of fiber that was apparently softer than cashmere, and they were selling them for these ridiculous prices, just crazy, crazy prices. And the people in this one particular place, I think it may have been Peru, weren't even getting paid at all.
Oh, I saw that. That was on some form of social media. I did see that. Yes. That's it. Look, and it's really confusing for consumers as well, because in the industry, we've got sustainable practices, but then we also have ethical practices, and ethics are a little bit different to sustainable. So a sustainable brand will be, oh, we're using sustainable fibers, we're using organic farming, but ethics are not about the sustainable fibers. It's more about the people and the animals that are being either misused or, you know, used in the industry. So that's a really confusing thing as well, because personally, I would love to see ethics and sustainability be, as I said before, holistic. I like things to be holistic, but at the moment, it's not. So you think about, okay, I'm not going to name names, but there is a particular Australian brand that is incredibly popular that does vegan handbags, and they are calling themselves sustainable because they don't use animal products, and ethical, of course, but they are using virgin plastic instead of leather. So it's really, I feel, misleading, because virgin plastic isn't very sustainable.
It's very confusing. There's so much noise out there. And with all that, it makes it really hard for people to know if they're making a sustainable fashion choice. So do you have any tips there? Obviously, doing the research, is there anything else?
It's really important to know what your values are. Some people value, it is very important that ethics around animal cruelty and not using leather or fur, that's really important to them. For other people, it is very environmental. Say, I mean, I'm a vegetarian, but I'm a vegetarian for different reasons to my daughter, who's also a vegetarian. I'm for environmental reasons. She's for ethical reasons for animals. So that, just really hone in on what your values are and what you're looking for in sustainability, because everyone is different. It's not a one size fits all. And then look into the brands that you're wanting to purchase and really, really be aware that, especially fast fashion brands, they have marketing companies working for them that know so much about human nature. They know what drives us. They know everything about psychology. They know how to manipulate you so well. So if you know this and you have the knowledge is power when it comes to greenwashing and to sustainable fashion, just know that you could be being greenwashed and look into it. And if it is fast fashion and they're saying they're sustainable, you are being greenwashed because there is no way the fast fashion model could be sustainable in any way, shape or form, because you can't make that many items so cheaply and it be sustainable or ethical.
Yeah, that's right. And exactly as you mentioned, these micro seasons, it's crazy. Yes. There's no way that be sustainable. There's just no way.
No, and look, it is the way we have been going with, you know, just the way we are in general as a community. I know when I had my boutique, when you had something new, people were interested. Mm-hmm. As soon as something was a week old, they were not interested. So I get why fast fashion is really doing a lot of micro seasons every single year. But as a community and as a consumer, we need to rethink what we want in fashion. And it's up to us to dictate that, you know what, we're not going to buy into all of these micro seasons. Mm. We're not going to buy into this over-consumerism. And we are going to shop our wardrobe a lot more than shopping these fast fashion chains. And I'm honing in on the fast fashion chains because they're the ones that are doing the main greenwashing, because they have the money to really hone into our psychology.
And it becomes a bit of a vicious circle as well. You know, they're putting it out there, we're buying it, which means that they're going, they're going to create more and we're going to buy more. So you're right, it really
That's exactly it.
Yeah, at a community level where we have to say, is this really aligned with my values? Is this what I want? Yeah.
And it's really important to know, as a consumer, you have the power. And we think these fast fashion giants have the power. They're putting the clothes into the shops. They're telling us, as far as, you know, we may think, they're telling us what is fashionable, what's on trend, what colours we need to buy. But we need to take the power back, because you are voting with your dollar. And every time you spend something at a shop, spend your money, you are condoning the practices of that shop, of that company. And trust me, the people that own fast fashion companies do not care a fig about fashion at all. They are just in it for the money. But they have such amazing marketers working for them that just are kind of, I'm going to say, brainwashing us to think that we really need them to feel whole, to feel okay, to be accepted.
Yeah. And I mean, brainwashing and greenwashing.
It's so similar. You could kind of confuse the words, couldn't you?
How big of a deal is transparency when it comes to fighting greenwashing, particularly in the fashion space?
Yeah, transparency is everything. I've got a collection coming out next month in April, and I'm focusing on being transparent as possible to give my customer and my community the respect that they deserve to actually know exactly what is going into their garment, even down to where I purchased the thread from, where the fabric comes from, the company. People don't like to be transparent because they're also worried about people stealing, you know, their manufacturers and things like that. But I mean, seriously, we're all in this together, and, you know, I lift other designers up. I'm not in competition with them. So I'm happy to help someone be as sustainable as they can be if they're wanting to do the same thing that I'm doing. So yeah, transparency is really rewarded. I feel if another brand out there that's thinking about being more transparent and they're listening to your podcast, then I say go for it. And if you are a consumer and you see a brand being transparent, that's being really vulnerable, and you should put a lot of respect into that into that brand, because they're making themselves really vulnerable. They're making themselves really open, and that is to be respected. So yeah, transparency is key, because what you're doing is putting the onus back onto the consumer to say, this is everything that my brand is. Now you choose if it aligns with your values.
Yeah, absolutely. When we're talking about transparency, are there any like seals of approval or certifications that we as consumers can trust that's going to show that a brand is actually walking the talk when it comes to sustainability?
Yeah, look, there are some certifications, but it's very, very hard for a small brand to get them. And so the small brands are actually leading the way with transparency and with sustainability, because they are the ones that are able to say dead stock fabric, which is a remnant fabric, which, you know, it's still can be a little bit hazy whether it's authentic dead stock. That is another podcast for you. But the small brands are actually leading the way in sustainability, which is really, really exciting. So you're not going to see those small brands get the certifications, because it's a lot of money. But it's also easier to delve into the small brands and see where they're coming from, and because it's written everywhere on their website, because they're celebrating this sustainability that they're doing. But you've got B Corp certifications. There are some brands, but they are bigger. So I feel if you've got a B Corp cert, then, you know, that is showing a lot of integrity. I mean, you've got something like the BCI, which is their Better Cotton Initiative. That is a certification, but I kind of take it with a grain of salt. Target, a lot of fast fashion brands do get cotton from BCI, and I have spoken to manufacturers of cotton who say it's a bit of a load of hogwash, but I'm not educated in it, so I'm not really going to go into that. You've got fair trade certifications. You've got the GOTS, which is the Global Organic Textile, you know, so that means 70% of the fiber has to be organic. You've got the Ecotex, which certifies against harmful substances. So it doesn't mean it's natural. It doesn't mean it's not synthetic, but that is, I suppose, better than not, if that makes sense.
So how does all the greenwashing affect the good guys? So the brands that are out there genuinely trying to make a difference with their sustainable fashion, how are they being affected by greenwashing by the bigger brands?
Oh, that is such a good conversation, because it makes it really, really hard for us, because people don't know if they're being greenwashed or not. And so some people just assume they're being greenwashed, and they're just hearing these buzzwords over and over again. Sustainability, conscious. I mean, no one wants to use the word conscious anymore because of H&M and how they overused it. Yeah. And look, 59% of green claims are misleading. That's a statistic in the UK.
That's a lot.
And I know, and 68% of companies in the USA have confirmed that they have greenwashed.
They've admitted it.
They've admitted it. Yeah. So maybe, you know, without, I don't know how they've admitted that without, you know, going to court. But what I'm saying is everyone is greenwashing the consumers. And so the consumers are just so freaking wary now. And I put a poll out on my Instagram community, and one of the number one things that they are concerned about in the sustainable fashion arena is, how do they know if they're being greenwashed or not? And so, yeah, it does really affect us as a smaller sustainable brand, because how do people know if we're telling the truth? If they don't listen to a podcast like yours, where we say, you know what, just delve into it a bit more, do that. They don't know. So yeah, it has really affected us, but you know what, that's what my job is. I've got a really strong community on social media. I've got an extra strong community in my newsletter. And we talk about this all the time. And so being part of a community like that really helps, just knowing who to trust.
From what you're saying, it just seems like there's two camps as consumers, because on one end of the scale, we're taking it at face value that someone is saying that their product is sustainable. So you're believing it. But then there's, as you said, people don't know whether or not to believe, you know, an honest claim. So, so confusing.
And look, it's like that old saying, ignorance is bliss until it's not. Wouldn't it be so nice to just believe everything everyone was saying?
That would be nice.
It'd be so simple. Mm. But it's not like that. You have the power as the consumer, like I said before, to vote with your dollar. And that's a huge power. And it's something that you shouldn't take lightly.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. And my next question was actually going to be, is there anything that we can do as consumers to make brands own up to their greenwashing habits? And as you said, voting with your dollars is a big one. Is there anything else that you'd add to that?
Yeah, ask questions. When I had my boutique, and it's in quite an alternative area, it was on Brunswick Street in Fitzroy, mm-hmm. and it's where I launched the Abby James brand, and now the Abby James brand is online. I had so many people coming up to me and asking me, how am I sustainable? And they were putting me to the test, and they were just asking a lot of hard questions, which I had so much respect for those people. Asking questions, asking the awkward questions, because it can be really hard to ask those questions. But ask shop owners, because that gets passed on to brands. Ask brands, send them emails, especially if it's a smaller brand. Ask them, are you having this made locally? There's a lot of questions that you can ask. Have a voice. Speak out against greenwashing. Tell people about it. Say, hey, they said this, but it wasn't true. I think you should know about this. And then more people know about it.
What about for your brand? Have you faced any bumps in the road when you've tried to push back against the greenwashing?
I have faced bumps in the road in regards to manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was, so my first collection was designed during lockdown, and I had a local manufacturer lined up in Sydney. I'm in Melbourne, and they went out of business. They had a family member pass away from COVID, and they just stopped. They just closed their business. And so I was like, I've put so much work into this. It's kind of like I'm going to stop, or I have to pivot really quickly. And so with the help of another company, just to give me contacts, I had it made overseas. Now, I didn't know as much as I do now, and I'm not getting my next collection made overseas. It's from lovely, lovely makers who are self-employed in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
But I used a certified company. I used a certified factory. They paid, you know, the minimum wage. They did everything correctly. But as a designer, that is still not a very sustainable option that I chose. And I'll admit that. And I love to admit that, because it shows that companies can change, because the minimum wage isn't a living wage. And it's been proven that.
Mm.
Over, you know, overseas. And so a brand can be, you know, told, we've got these certifications, we've got this, we've got that, and they can go into this with their kind of blinkers on, thinking they're doing the right thing. But it's up to the brand to really do their research too. You know, we might think that fabric made in Bali is good because it's done by local communities. But there is a river in Bali, and just off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of it, but I wrote a blog piece on it, and it is the most polluted river in the world. And it is because of the fashion industry and the textile industry. So these things, brands don't know, and they're trying to do the right thing. But as a consumer, you need to educate yourself. And as a brand, you need to also educate yourself and go deeper than what you're being told.
Yeah. That is such good advice, and I will link that in the show notes as well for you, Abby. Do you have any hints about what is coming up next in the fashion world? Do you think things are going to get better or worse when it comes to greenwashing?
Oh, that's such a good question. Things are getting better in the fashion industry in general. Mm. As far as greenwashing goes, that's a really tough one, because in my arena, I feel it's getting better because people are educating themselves. But I feel there are a lot of people who don't have it on their radar, who are just believing what these companies are saying. So it's not on their radar. So you know what? I think it can only get better, but it really depends on if people are interested enough.
Yeah. And do you think that it is a generational thing?
Well, generational because the older generations are not as interested as the younger generations. That would definitely say that the future is looking a lot better, because the 20s, 30-year-olds are definitely a lot more interested and a lot more aware of sustainable fashion, and they are making us in the industry accountable, whereas the 60-plus men and women out there statistically aren't, it's not on their radar as much. So, yeah, generational, that's a huge thing, definitely.
There's going to be people that will listen to this and they're going to want to know more, naturally. So do you have any recommendations for books or documentaries, websites or blog posts, that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. You can look at my blog on my website. Books are a huge thing for me. I actually have a few here with me, next to me, because I wanted to share what I personally have read. The most amazing book, which is about colonialism and climate change and consumerism, is Consumed. It's by Arjun Barber. Amazing, amazing book. But I really like The Psychology of Fashion as well by Carolyn Mayer. I do feel that maybe more industry related. I think that's something that you would love to read. How to Break Up with Fast Fashion by Lauren Bravo is a really great one as well. And To Die For by Lucy Siegel, that's a really good one. Is fashion wearing out the world? There are a lot of great books. There's some amazing documentaries as well. Oh, what was that one? I watched one about the denim industry. Can I give it to you and you put it in the show notes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Look, I really feel it really helps if you are on social media, and all credit to you if you're not. But if you are on social media, find communities that are aligned with your values, that build you up rather than make you feel less than you should. There are a lot of influencers now that are promoting sustainable fashion, but promoting it in a way where it's slow fashion, vintage fashion, shopping your closet. And really, there's a lot of stylists out there that are helping people style clothes they already have. Like the old days, you know, when you had a wedding, maybe you looked what's in your wardrobe rather than going to a shop. So find a community. I have a really strong community on my Instagram and Facebook, and we really connect away from that with my newsletter. I get people emailing me and asking me for advice, and then I answer it. And so finding people that you trust and finding your community, because they will keep it on your radar.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your top piece of advice for anyone who wants to shop ethically and avoid falling for greenwashing?
Okay, so my top advice is, it is not sustainable to overshop sustainable products.
Yes.
Just remember that first. I'm talking about that on my social media this week, because that's something that I did when I first discovered sustainability back in the day. And really know your values, and know that your worth is not dictated by trends, by what other people are wearing. You are an individual, and you don't need whatever those fast fashion companies are trying to tell you they need. You need, you don't need that to be a whole person. So just do your education, but know that you are enough without buying new clothes.
I need to write that on a post-it note and just stick it everywhere, just as a reminder.
See, I'm the fashion designer that tells people to stop buying clothing. I don't know if anyone else is doing that. And I know it sounds really odd to be doing that, but I know I'm going to sell enough clothing, even when I'm telling people to just hold off on all of those new purchases because so many people are still buying clothes. But I just remember the old days when your grandparents or your great-grandparents, and they bought a jacket, and that jacket was super, super special, and they were going to keep that jacket for years and years and years to come, and they were going to hand it down to their children, and it was going to be generational. That jacket had a story. Let our clothes live long enough to tell stories.
Yes, yes, I love stories about clothes, hence the podcast.
Yes, I know.
But yes, I do. I love it. So just before we go, do you have a best bargain brag you can share with us?
Well, it's a story. And
good.
I don't know if this breaks the rules because I didn't buy it. But my mum owned a maxi skirt that was a kilt. It was a traditional kilt, but it goes all the way to your ankles. And she kept it, and she kept all of our kilts. We went to church. My dad was a minister, so we dressed up a lot and to keep up with appearances. But this kilt I discovered last year in a box, and I've been wearing it a lot and styling it, and I'm getting a lot of inspiration about it. And this kilt is amazing. It has such a story for me. And I'm holding on to it. So I'm classing it as secondhand because, yes, it is from my mum, but it was free.
It absolutely is. Yeah, that's perfect. It's got history.
It's got history, yeah, yeah. I have a lot of clothes that have history, and I love them all.
Well, I can't wait to see it. And for anyone else who wants to see it, I will pop it up on our ReLove Radio highlights, and you'll be able to see it there. Lovely. And also, quite important, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, there's two ways. You can get onto social media. You can get onto Instagram, and it's abbyjames.official. Or you can jump onto my newsletter community, because that is where I really dive deep. And you know what? I'm quite honest. I'm quite raw. I'm very, very unfiltered there. And that's on my website, which I'm sure you'll have in the show notes. It's abby-james.com. Remember, my name is spelled A-B-B-I-E, not like the church.
Thank you. That's excellent. And yes, I do have that all linked for you in the show notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure chatting to you. And I just want to say thank you so much for bringing this subject to light, because the more the merrier. I think the more podcasts that are championing slow fashion, sustainable fashion, the better. So well done, you are being a part of the change for better.
Thanks for listening to ReLoved Radio. You can find the show notes from today's episode on the website www.relovedradio.com.au. And that's also where you can download my hand-picked list of places to shop secondhand online in Australia. It features over 85 of the best online op shops, charity stores, vintage specialists, secondhand retailers, pre-loved luxury and designer fashion, ex-rental sales, and more. And it's free to download.